until you get to the office. This isn't the office. And so I trust it's still going on. I remember hearing a story about a man who was sitting after breakfast at home, drinking his coffee and reading the morning paper. His wife came along and said, it's time you were at the office. He said, oh, I thought I was there. Let's turn, if you will, please, to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to read from verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her, and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. The Lord will bless to us this wonderful portion from his good word. Let's bow and commit ourselves to the Lord again. Father, we thank thee for this passage from thy word. Many times we have come to it and thought of it, and many times it's been a blessing to us. We pray that thou wilt once again bless it to our hearts as we ponder it together. Grant, O God, that although we have known this story for years, perhaps many of us, most of us, that yet thou wilt bring fresh truths from it and enable us to apply these truths to our lives. We commend ourselves to thee and ask thy blessing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Mobility is increasingly a characteristic of modern society. We're always on the move, at least most people are. In some parts of the world, still today, people spend their lives in the same place where they were born. But most of us don't do that. Most of us don't spend our lives where we were born or where we spent our early years. We're moving from place to place. I've especially been characterized by movement. I was born in India. The first 5 years of my life were spent in India with my parents, who were missionaries there. And then I was taken to Scotland at the age of five. Spent years there at the age of, from the age of five with my paternal grandparents, my paternal grandfather ultimately, and my two aunts there. And then when I qualified and graduated, I moved to different places, even in Scotland. About 34 years ago, nearly, we came to Canada, and we've been in half a dozen different homes in Canada. We're moving around, and I guess most of us are characterized by movement. Elijah was characterized by movement. We've already seen one of his moves, or at least two of his moves, really, from his home in Tishbe in Gilead. He moved, I don't know for how long, but he went into the palace of the king, right, probably in Samaria itself. And then he moved to the brook Cherith. And we saw him last night at the brook Cherith. We don't know how long he was there, but now we see another move. He's suddenly shifted his place from Cherith in Gilead to Zarephath in Sidon. A change of location, and quite a marked change of location. I think of what it was, away from the southeast, across the River Jordan, right up to the northwest, outside of Israel altogether, into a place of Sidon. And that was the place where Jezebel came from. She, you remember, was the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians. And that's where Elijah now moved to, from the land of Israel to the Gentile land where Baal was worshipped, from which Jezebel hailed. No one in Israel was given the honor of caring for the prophet Elijah, but a widow in Zarephath was given that honor. You remember the Lord Jesus spoke about this widow and this story when he was here. He said many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, but unto none of these was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. What an honor that was to have Elijah. What an honor it is to have the Lord Jesus staying with us. And every one of us who knows him as our Savior has the honor of having him stay with us day by day, living in our lives by his Spirit and accompanying us on life journey. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a glorious privilege and honor to have the Son of God, the King of Heaven, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of glory, living with us day by day. Well, let's try to look at this story and try to learn some of the lessons that we can find in it. We notice again that there are God's commands. God's commands. Last night we noticed that God commanded two individuals, actually more than two individuals. He commanded, first of all, Elijah. And then he commanded the ravens. I don't know many ravens, but he commanded the ravens to look after Elijah, to feed him, to provide food, meat and bread, day, morning and evening. Now God commands Elijah again. Verse 9, we are told, verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. The word of the Lord. We noticed last night that Elijah didn't move from Cherith because the brook dried up. He moved because the Lord commanded. And that should be our guide in our lives. Not because circumstances change, although circumstances sometimes get indication of the Lord's will for our lives. But because the Lord gives us the command, the Lord gives us the direction. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. But God not only commanded Elijah, he said in the very same verse, behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So when God commanded Elijah, he had already spoken and commanded the widow woman to sustain Elijah. And that's God's way of dealing with things. He makes a real command to two persons in this particular instance. He makes his program clear, and he leaves it without any doubt. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. We don't know the name of this widow woman. She's one of the unnamed heroines. And heroes, too, some unnamed heroes in the Bible, whose name is recorded in heaven. The Lord knows their name. And your name may be unknown on earth by many people except those of us here and your intimate friends. But you can be sure that the Lord knows your name. He knows exactly where you are, and he has recorded your name in heaven. The Lord of heaven knew this this woman, and she had a very special purpose and plan for her. Well, notice what Elijah did. Elijah obeyed. Look at verse 10. So he arose and went. He arose and went. He didn't ask why. And there are many reasons why he might have asked why. I don't know whether there were questions or doubts that entered into Elijah's mind. If I had been in Elijah's shoes, I would have asked a lot of questions. I would have some problems and some questions, some doubts. Wouldn't you, if you had been like Elijah? I would ask three questions in particular. I would have asked if I was Elijah, why Sidon? Why Sidon? Well, after all, Sidon was about 90 miles away from Cherith, maybe more. 90 miles or so. He didn't have an automobile, and he didn't have an airplane to get there. I don't think he even had a horse. I don't think we read of Elijah having a horse to go along with him. The end of the next chapter, we read of him running. And no doubt he ran and he walked along this journey. Why Sidon? In order to get there, he almost certainly, unless he took a roundabout detour, he almost certainly had to go through Ahab's country. And Ahab was looking for him to kill him. And he had almost certainly to go through Ahab's country. But you know, when the Lord commands, the Lord cares. We've heard that already tonight, this morning. We've been singing that. God cares. He cares for us. When God makes a command, he provides the care and the protection for our needs as we fulfill that command. He had to go through Elijah's territory. But not only did he have to go through Elijah's territory, he had to go into Sidon. He seemed safe at Cherith. Nobody had found him yet. But what about Sidon? Why, that was Baal's country. That was where Baal was very specially honored. And Elijah might have said, well, why should I go right into the very thick of the battle, into the very heart of the fire, into Baal's country? That's the home of Jezebel. That's Sidon. That's where his bitterest enemy, for really his bitterest enemy, wasn't Ahab. Behind Ahab, there was Jezebel. And here he was, he had to go right through Ahab's country, into Jezebel's country. He was really in enemy territory, where Baal was worshipped. But we don't read of Elijah stopping and saying, Lord, I couldn't go there. He was prepared to go. Why? Because the Lord commanded. And that should be our direction. If the Lord commands, we should be willing to go. So there might be the first question that Elijah would ask. I can think of another question that Elijah might have asked. I would certainly have asked. The Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. If I had been Elijah, I'd say, what widow? What widow? The Lord didn't give her name. The Lord didn't give her address. He didn't give any identifying features about this widow. He just said, I have commanded a widow woman. I would have wanted to know some details and particulars. Where will I find her? What she look like? What will she be doing? What can identify her to me? We don't read that Elijah did that. He arose and he went. He didn't need to do that. You'll notice what we read in verse 10, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. The widow was there. God had commanded her. And God had brought her right to the gate of the city where Elijah entered. He didn't have to go around looking at all the places and knocking at the doors of houses and say, are you the widow, the woman that God commanded? The widow woman was there. I don't know if it's significant, but it seemed to me significant until I looked at some other translations. But it seemed to me significant that in verse 9, the Lord said, I commanded a widow woman to sustain me. In verse 10, it says, the widow woman was there. Now, unfortunately, if you look at most of the other translations, you'll discover that the of verse 10 is an A widow woman. However, it was the widow woman right enough. It was the very one that the Lord had commanded to sustain. And she was just there. The Lord makes ample provision. You don't need to bother about asking these questions to the Lord. He knows exactly about them. What widow? But there was a first question that Elijah might have asked, and I would have asked it if I was in his place. Not only why Sidon, not only what widow, but the third question I'd asked was, why a widow? Why a widow? Well, it's unlikely that a widow would have enough for herself, far less to meet the needs of Elijah. Why a widow? But Elijah's obedience evidenced his implicit faith in God, that obedience of faith. And he discovered that the widow was far more in need than he might have thought. In fact, she was on her last piece of cake. She didn't even have a piece of cake. She was on her last drop of meal, and she was just about to take it and make a piece of cake for her son and herself. And then she was going to die. She was at the very end of her tether. And yet this was the provision that God made for her, for Elijah. And not only for Elijah, but for the widow woman herself. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You would never have believed it were possible that God would send Elijah to a woman who was in her last drop of food, last bite of food. You'd never have believed it. And yet, that woman, at the end of her tether, with death staring in her face, was willing and able. And she was the means that God used for supplying the needs of his servant. Do you know, God uses very unusual means of supplying our need, sometimes in ways that we have no idea that he could ever have used. But God can use these means, sometimes in miraculous ways, as I'm sure he did in this case, in order to meet our needs. The main thing is that we should trust and obey. Trust God's word and obey God's command. And that's the secret of living like Elijah, to trust and obey. We sang that last night, and it was a very, very appropriate hymn. Trust and obey. Well, Elijah arrives in Zarephath, and he finds a widow there. And the first thing he does is to give her a command. In fact, as we read the story, he gives her several commands. He finds her gathering sticks, and there his first command is, "Fetch me, I pray, a little water for me in a vessel, that I may drink it." I suppose water was scarce there, because the drought affected all the countries round about, and it certainly affected Sidon. It affected Sidon. So even a little drop of water was scarce. But we are told as she was going to fetch it, she obeyed too. We're going to look at that in a little while. Not only Elijah obeyed the command, but the widow woman obeyed the command. She obeyed the command of Elijah, because Elijah was the man of God, and obeying his command, she was really obeying God's command. And so she went to fetch it. That was the first command of Elijah. Fetch a little water. That's scarce commodity. There was a second command. As she was going to fetch it, he called after her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." Bring me some bread. And she had to acknowledge she didn't have any. She didn't have a single cake in the house. And she had to tell Elijah, "That's just a handful of meal in a bottle. One handful. And I was just going to gather two sticks and go and dress this meal for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." That was the terrible situation she was in. Do you think Elijah's heart fell when he heard that? Do you think that he was disappointed and began to say, "Well, this can't be the woman, this can't be the widow woman"? Not at all. Elijah believed God. He still trusted God. Even though the circumstances were dark, he still trusted the God who is the Lord of all circumstances, and who is not deterred by difficulties and problems that deter us. Or that we could be like Elijah in that respect, to trust the living God to make provision for our needs. Then there's a third command that Elijah gives. It's in two words in our King James Version. I don't know how many words in the Hebrew, but verse 13 we read, "Elijah said unto her, fear not, fear not." It's evident that it didn't upset Elijah that she was on her last little morsel of food. It didn't upset him. He wasn't afraid. And so he's passing on this message, "Fear not." That's one of the common messages of the Word of God. Fear not. A delightful message from God's word. You see, we're surrounded by causes of fear on all hands, and God comes to us with his still small voice. He says, "Fear not." Somebody has calculated the number of fear nots in the Bible. Actually, I calculated, and I got a bit different from what this person calculated. I got something like 50 to 60 fear nots that God gave, either personally or through his servants. But I believe the person who calculated all the other things, "Be not afraid, be not dismayed," and all the other things that are like "fear not," and he counted that there are 366 of them in the Bible. 366. That means one for every day of the year, including the leap year. One for every day. God gives us encouragement not to fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And you know, there are some things that dispel fear. First of all, perfect love casts out fear. If we love the Lord perfectly, if our love for him is above our love for everything and everyone else, then we'll have no fear. Secondly, implicit trust casts out fear. The psalmist said, I will trust and not be afraid. If we trust in the Lord, then we'll have no cause to fear. And finally, complete obedience casts out fear. That's why Elijah was able to say, fear not, because he trusted the Lord and loved the Lord, and he was obeying the Lord. Fear not. And on the fourth command, the prophet said, go and do as thou hast said. Just go on doing it. Go and get what you want to do. Go and get it. Make a cake. And the final command is very difficult for us to understand. And it must have been quite difficult for the woman to understand. He said, but go and do what thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. What would you have done if you had been the widow of Zarephath? What would you have said? I would have said, well, I don't have enough for you and me and my son. I've only enough for me and my son. I haven't enough for you as well. But we don't read that she ever questioned that. She might have said, well, Elijah's very selfish. This man of God can't be a man of God. He's very selfish. Why do you think Elijah said to her to do that? We're not told why he said, but I think he said this in order to test her. Was she willing to give God first place? After all, if she was the man of God, she had said to him, as the Lord thy God liveth, so he was the representative of God, then what she was doing to the representative of God was done for God himself. And she was giving God first place in her life in bringing that food that she made and giving the first portion to Elijah. But Elijah did more than that. He not only gave these commands, but he gave a very wonderful promise. And notice the promise he gave to her. And it was a promise not from Elijah himself, but from the Lord of Elijah. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. There's a wonderful promise. And I believe the widow believed that promise, that God was going to eke out that barrel of meal, bottle of grain, whatever it was, he was going to eke it out until there was rain on the earth. And that exactly happened. I don't know how it happened. I believe that was a miracle. And I believe that was accomplished not by Elijah, but by God himself. And he is the God of miracles. He's able to supply our every need in every situation. Elijah guaranteed and assured to this woman that God was able to do that he would accomplish this miracle, and that bottle, that jar, that bin of flour or meal would never fail, nor would the cruse, the jug of oil, give way until there was rain upon the earth. God accomplished that promise. God brought it about as he promised through Elijah. Well, we've already noticed a little about the widow's obedience. Let's notice again that she obeyed. She indicated her faith and her obedience. Let's notice verse 15. We've already looked at verse 11 as she was going. Now verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal didn't waste, and the jug of oil didn't fail, according to the word of the Lord. That was God's provision, not only for Elijah, but for the widow and her son. And we can see now why God provided the widow. You see, God not only wanted to provide for his servant, Elijah, but he was going to provide for the widow and her house, her son, as well. God made that ample provision. God has a wonderful way of doing his work. This Gentile woman seemed to have more faith than the majority of the people in the land of Israel. She seemed to trust a God that she had not known, but she recognized as she saw Elijah. She said, "The Lord thy God liveth." She trusted the living God, and trusting him and obeying, she received the blessings of God. Is this God still living? He still is living. Is he still able to do the wonderful, the miraculous, the amazing? He still is able to do the wonderful, the miraculous, and the amazing. And many of us, I'm sure, can testify to that in our own lives. I'm sure if I were to ask Mr. Wilson to tell us of some of his experiences in Angola, he would tell us over and over again how God has provided the wonderful and the amazing and the miraculous, as far as we are concerned. I'm sure many of us could tell us of what God has done. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a story from Scotland about a widow on a lonely hillside in the Scottish Highlands, far from any other dwelling. There lived a poor widow. She was lonely. For many years she had learned to trust in the God of widows, and he had supplied her needs. She had difficulty sometimes finding employment to get sufficient money to meet her needs. And one winter, it was a harsh winter, and in the depths of that winter, her supplies became very low indeed. In fact, she was down to the very bottom of the barrel. As a matter of fact, her barrel failed on this particular occasion. When she finished the last handful of oatmeal in her barrel, she went to bed hoping she might succeed in earning a little money the next day to get some meal to replenish her supplies. But when the next day came, also came a terrible winter storm. Snow was blowing. It was wild. The widow looked out as the snowstorm swept over the land. The lane to her cottage was almost blocked with snow. There's no way she could get out and look for a job, get asked to get money. It was impossible, she thought, for her to go to any neighbor where she would receive a dish of porridge. There was nothing she could do. Well, not nothing. There was something she could do. There was only one friend she could ask. She was far away from everybody else. But she had perfect confidence in this particular friend. And she got down on her knees. And she thanked him. She asked him. But before she did that, you know what she did? She took a pan. She filled it with water. She had a little salt. She put it in the water and she put it onto the pan, she put it onto the plane to boil. She trusted that God would be able to put the meal in it for her. And she sat down and she knelt down and she prayed like this. She said, "Lord, I'm in need of meal. Thou knowest my need. Wilt thou provide the need now?" She went through to her bedroom and she prayed this. And in a very short moment, she had a knock at the door. And she prayed again. She says, "Lord, you can't have sent the answer right away so soon, can you?" The knocking persistent. And in opening the door, a farmer's daughter, who had come quite a distance to her, came and she said to the woman, "My father sent me to you. I think you may be very grateful to me for coming, for he told me to bring this meal to you. I don't know why he did it. I don't know why he expected me to go through this terrible storm and bring this meal. Whatever possessed him, I can't tell, but he has been dinning into me all morning since I got up this morning about that sack of meal, and snow or no snow, he determined that I was going to come and bring it to you. It was a pretty hard job getting through the storm, but here I am, and you can be thankful to me." Well, with uplifted hands and her eyes dim with tears, the widow exclaimed in her Scottish accent, she said, "He's aye the same, Jeanie. Many a long year, many a long year, I trusted him. I've never found him fail, and he's nae failed me noo. I put on the water, and I put in the salt, and ne'er a grain of meal had I in the house. See, I was just asking the Lord to send the meal when I heard you knock at the door." The Lord provided for her need. And the Lord is still the same today. That's the kind of Lord we have. He's a God who makes provision for any circumstance, for any problem, for any difficulty. Before we close, and I don't want to keep you waiting tonight, this morning, let me remind you of the spiritual application of this story. I think there's a spiritual application, apart from the kind of application that we've looked at. The meal for us speaks of the Lord Jesus. He is the perfect meal offering. He said, I am the bread of life. And his supply never runs down. His barrel of meal never ends. It's an unending supply. And it completely satisfies. He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. What a wonderful supply that is. What about the oil? Well, as you all know, the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said about the Holy Spirit that he will abide with you forever. That's a supply that never goes down. The meal and the oil. An unending supply in the person of the Lord and in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Lord with us day by day. And the Spirit of God within us all the time. We have a perfect supply. But my friends, we haven't to feed upon that just once a year, or once a month, or once a week. We need to feed upon that supply day by day, and moment by moment. We need to feed upon the Lord every day of our lives, and throughout the day. Not just reading a little portion at the beginning of the day and saying that'll do for the day, but meditating upon it, pondering it, ruminating, chewing the cud, so to speak, and thinking about the Lord and his provision for us throughout the day and also at the night. We have to think about him. And also we have to have the oil. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I understand that as a present continuous tense, it could be translated being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be under his control, to ask him to take full control of our lives and to live in the power day by day of the Spirit of God. And as we feed upon the Lord Jesus, the living bread, and as we are under the control moment by moment and day by day of the Spirit of God, then we have a supply that's going to meet our every need. And we can say that the barrel of meal never fails, and the jug of oil will never go dry. What a wonderful God we have. He met only the needs of Elijah, but also the widow and her house. And he meets our needs, not today only, but tomorrow and all the days. Not until the rain comes, but until the Lord comes and takes us forever home. Let's trust in him today and all the days. He is the God who cares, as we sang together. Let's bow together in prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy provision for our every need. Thou hast provided for our material need, our physical need. Thou hast provided far beyond our asking or far beyond our deserving and even far beyond our need. We thank thee for this. We thank thee for the provision thou hast made for our spiritual need and our eternal need. Help us to trust thee fully. We confess humbly before thee that sometimes we do not trust. We worry instead of trusting. And if we trust, we know we shall not worry. Help us, we pray thee, to trust thee today, whatever the circumstances of our life. And help us not only to trust, but to obey. Grant us thy blessing in all that we do, as some of us stay here, as some of us go in one or other of the bus trips. We pray that thou be with us. Give journeying mercies. Grant that it may be a profitable day, that it will be to thy glory and to thine honor. We commend very specially to thee our dear sister Mrs. Davids, and pray that thou wilt give wisdom to the surgeon and the physician and all the staff of the hospital as they care for her, and grant thy blessing upon thy servant Mr. Davids. Do be with them, we pray, and grant that they may know thy peace and thy presence. So we ask thy blessing upon us. Commit ourselves into thy hand, in the name of the Lord Jesus.